Well, good morning. Welcome to the Blue Lake Presbyterian Church. Today's message is titled Second Chance. And it's based on Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10. But I'd like to kick it off with something funny. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. And the teacher said, "It is physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human. Because even though whales are very large mammals, their throat is relatively small." Well, then the little girl said, "But Jonah was swallowed by a whale." And the teacher repeated, "A whale could not swallow a human. It is impossible." Well, the little girl said, "When I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah." Well, then the teacher actually asked, "What if Jonah went to hell?" The little girl replied, "Then you ask him." So the theme today is a second chance. Now, in the case of Jonah, and often in life, that second chance comes after being rescued or saved. And let me illustrate this with a story. Growing up in Holland, vacation meant a trip to the east part of the country. Holland's a pretty small country. And spending a week with family at their farm with cattle, pigs, and chicken. And I remember one particular time playing with my cousins outside the barn. There was this large concrete cistern full of liquid manure. Somehow the lid of this underground tank had been removed. And while not paying attention, I remember falling backwards into this manure tank. I was about 5 years old when this happened. Being submerged in liquid manure, I felt a hand grabbing me and pulling me out. It was my older cousin who actually rescued me. Well, thanks to God, I'm forever thankful to my cousin for saving me from drowning in that manure pit. I wouldn't be standing here this morning if it wasn't for him being there at the right time. Speaking of a second chance. In 1983, I spotted a job posting in a Dutch horticultural magazine for a lily grower position in America. Well, the president of the company came to Holland for some interviews, and he offered me the job. Well, I applied for a visa to work in America, but the application was denied based on some technicality. I had a meeting with the ranking official at the U.S. consulate in Amsterdam, and eventually a second chance came when the work visa was granted. On October 23rd, 1983, I boarded an airplane for America, and the rest is history. A few weeks ago, on New Year's Day, we watched the Rose Bowl. What an epic game that was between the University of Georgia and Oklahoma. The game lasted for over 4 hours, resulting in double overtime, a first in Rose Bowl history. Both teams combined scored 102 points, a Rose Bowl record. Georgia overcame a 17-point deficit, the largest in Rose Bowl history to win the game. But the pivotal moment came when Georgia got the ball back 6 seconds before the half. And 4 seconds later, the team tried a 50-yard field goal. Well, earlier in the game, the kicker had attempted a 49-yarder and missed. But he got a second chance, made history, and set a Rose Bowl record for the longest field goal ever from 55 yards. Well, that made me think of a story that I heard of the Rose Bowl between Georgia Tech and Cal Berkeley all the way back in 1929. Berkeley player Roy Riggles recovered a fumble, but he became confused, and he ran the wrong way, eventually resulting in 2 points for the opponent. At halftime, the players ran into the locker room and sat down, wondering what the coach would say. Roy sat all by himself, away from all the other players. He put a towel over his head and he cried his heart out. He was so distraught that he told his coach, "I can't go back. I have ruined you. I have ruined myself. I have ruined the school. I cannot face that crowd." The coach said, "Roy, get up and go out there. The game is only half over." Well, Roy Riggles played an outstanding second half and became Cal's football captain the next season. He was an officer in the Army Air Forces during World War II. In 1991, he was inducted in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame and Cal Athletics Hall of Fame in 1998. What a marvelous coach, giving Roy Riggles a second chance. What an awesome God that gives a second chance to all who repent and humble themselves. The Bible is full of stories where God is merciful in giving a second chance. Jacob is a perfect example. Jacob's name actually means deceiver. And he certainly lived up to his name. And in Genesis 32:24, Jacob had an encounter with the Lord that changed his life. And with a changed life came a new name, Israel. And then we got Moses. Moses killed an Egyptian and he fled from Egypt, escaping to the land of Midian. Well, the Bible says in Exodus 2, verse 11, God gave him a second chance. Well, Moses eventually delivered the children of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh. Well, today's second chance story comes from Jonah, a book in the Bible covering less than 2 pages. The top10list.com of most popular Bible stories lists the tale of Jonah at number 8. The story is well known. It typically connotes references to a whale. Well, this week, I asked a number of people, and some of them are in the crowd here today, what comes to mind hearing the name Jonah. And while most people said a whale, the majority thought that the story ended When Jonah spit, was spit out on the beach. But the second part of the story of Jonah is every bit as important. And this is where the second chance comes into the picture. And that brings us to today's reading in Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10, which can be found in your Pew Bible on page 859. I'll give you a moment to look it up. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a three-day walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger, so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Folks, that second part of the story of Jonah starts with the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord, that saying, repeats itself in the Old Testament over 2,000 times. The word of the Lord came to Abraham, to Moses, to David, to Solomon, and to all the prophets. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time in the beginning of the story. The Lord had told Jonah, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city." Now you may wonder, what is Nineveh and where is Nineveh? The city of Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians. It was the oldest and most populous city of the ancient Assyrian Empire, situated on the east bank of the Tigris River. Nineveh was located on an intersection of an important north-south and east-west trade routes. The old city and the ruins of Nineveh today are surrounded by the city of Mosul in Iraq. And in 2015, it was in the news as the ISIS militants destroyed the artifacts in this ancient city and ruined some of its old city gates. When the Lord called the first time, Jonah didn't want to hear him. He wasn't about to be a preacher in a field, in a city full of wicked, evil, and mean people. His life wouldn't be safe telling these people to repent from their sins. So instead, he went to Joppa, just a little bit south of Tel Aviv. And he bought a ticket to go to this beach resort in Tarshish, far away. Now, nobody knows exactly where Tarshish is. A lot of people speculate it may have been in southern Spain. We all know what happened next. The Lord brought a storm. The sailors were terrified. And eventually threw Jonah overboard. But the Lord wasn't done with Jonah. He had much bigger plans for him. So Jonah gets saved and spends 3 days in the belly of a big fish. Now, there is much speculation if this really could have happened, like that teacher in the beginning. Well, the truth is, it did. Records of the British Admiralty show a story about a man named James Bartley, an apprentice seaman on a whaler who was swallowed by a whale in February of 1891, 200 miles east of the Falkland Islands in the South Atlantic. He spent 2 days in the stomach of the whale and survived to tell about it. But his skin was completely bleached white from the experience. So Jonah survives to tell about it as well. He gets thrown onto the beach. He stands there, still kind of dazed, pulling some seaweed out of his hair. And here comes the word of the Lord the second time. Get up. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message that I tell you. This time, he goes as fast as he can. And when he gets to this huge city, he gives the shortest sermon ever given. At the top of his lungs, he shouts 8 words. 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But this shortest sermon ever sets off the largest revival in history of mankind. To Jonah's surprise, the people are listening. And they are starting to fast. And they're putting on sackcloth. Jonah can't believe his eyes. Then the king of Nineveh hears about it. And then rather than throwing Jonah out of town for causing a nuisance and disrupting the city, he gets off his throne, takes off his robe, and puts on sackcloth himself and makes this proclamation of a citywide fasting and repentance. He wants to show God that the people of Nineveh mean business. But in an interesting twist, God repents as well. He changes his mind and he spares the city. So first Jonah gets a second chance to redeem himself and to assume the role of a prophet as God had instructed him in the first place. But secondly, the king and the people of Nineveh get a second chance. Now, what can we learn from this in today's world? Let me illustrate this with an example. For the last few years, we have had a small group of Teen Challenge students working at the farm at Sun Valley. A few weeks ago, one of the students asked if I would give a message At their weekly worship service this past Wednesday night at the sanctuary of the First Baptist Church in Eureka. I did. And what an amazing experience it was to attend a church service with these students. The Spirit of the Lord was present. And it was the most engaged group that I have ever addressed, taking copious notes. And we have a few Teen Challenge students here this morning. Let's give them a hand. These students got a second chance in life. They went through the dark valley for a while. They were ensnared by the evil one. But like the people of Nineveh, they repented. They acknowledged that they were on the road to destruction. And the Lord provided a second chance. The facilities in Eureka host 70 students. It is a Christ-centered one-year program. 83% of graduates, 5 years later, are free of drugs and alcohol, higher than any other program out there. They run a coffee shop and a bookstore called Club 517. And inside that bookstore is a huge sign with 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. I can't think of a better way to describe a second chance. What a blessing to have this great organization, this beacon of hope in the midst of our community. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, saw his share of darkness. At age 11, he went to sea, sailed 6 voyages before he was pressed into service by the Royal Navy. At one point, he tried to desert and was punished in front of a crew of 350 sailors. Following that disgrace and humiliation, he contemplated killing the captain and committing suicide by throwing himself overboard. Later, he transferred to a slave ship, and then he himself got involved in the slave trade. This headstrong kid did not get along with the crew, so they left him in West Africa was a slave dealer. He then was abused and mistreated, just like all the other slaves. He was rescued. And on a voyage back to England, the ship encountered a severe storm and almost sank. As the ship was filling up with water, John Newton called out to God. The cargo shifted and plugged the hole, and the ship drifted to the shore safely. Newton marked this experience as the beginning of his conversion. He began to read the Bible and made a point of avoiding profanity, gambling, and drinking. He became an ordained evangelical Anglican cleric. Newton eventually became a prominent supporter to end the slave trade and helped to see England's abolition of slavery in 1807. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I say this is the ultimate hymn depicting a second chance. Friends, we don't have to allow the mistakes of the past to hold us captive. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead." God is giving us a second chance to change our ways and to ask Him to come into our lives. The word of the Lord came to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, over 200 years before Jonah. But the message was identical. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Friends, humble our hearts to the Lord and turn away from evil. Ask Jesus to come into our lives and to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Are we ready to make that commitment? To put our trust in the Lord? Take that second chance. It may be our last chance. Commit ourselves to Christ, and He will lead us on that narrow road to the kingdom of heaven. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.